music is not even scratching the surface. If you're wanting to grow and really serve people, you need to be a leader more than you need to be a musician. I mean, you can't serve effectively without the skill, but you can't serve with the skill if you're not a leader.
Welcome to the Worship Online podcast. My name is Keith. I am your host. And you know, Worship Online, we exist to help worship leaders like you have clarity, confidence, excellence, spiritual health, so that we can lead well, not just on the stage, but off the stage. If you're new, I think it's going to be helpful for you wherever you are. If you're watching on YouTube, you can comment, leave a review if you're listening. And that way we can get this out in the hands of other leaders, in the ears of other leaders that we can help that are just like you. Today, I'm so excited to introduce somebody who is a seasoned worship leader, recording artist, speaker, founder of a ministry, author of a recent book, just a creative leader, and has a great voice into what's going on right now in the world of worship and in ministry. I want to introduce to you Michael Bethany. Man, Michael, so glad you're here. So thankful for your voice in this season. Thanks for being here.
Man, thanks for having me, Keith. Glad to be a part of this platform.
Yes, sir. Excited. Yes, sir. So I want to get into the music and the conference and all that different stuff. But first, give me kind of like your origin story. How did you fall in love with Jesus? How did you get involved, kind of shift from meeting Jesus to getting involved in, I guess, worship was probably first?
Yeah, well, I mean, falling in love with Jesus was easy. That's my father was a pastor, so okay. He preached the gospel to me all the time. And at an early age, it penetrated my heart, and I remember that day. And I was never the same. You know, it's so interesting when I think about my early beginnings. It's like I asked myself this question because I was like 9 or 10. Like, did I really get saved? Like, mm-hmm. On that day?
Yeah.
Because I think I used to come to the altar all the time in those old churches where you would go down and get prayer. And mm-hmm. I was like, I don't think I got it. I got to go back down there again.
I don't know if it took.
I don't know. But I know this. From that day, I was so touched and penetrated in my heart by the presence and the love of Christ. And I just kept pursuing that through my childhood into my teen years. I think somewhere between there and 16, it really got a hold. Yeah. But I have just, that's been my life. And then music came along because I was born into a musical family. My mother was a recording artist. My father was a musician and songwriter. So that was, everyone was doing it. My parents made us. My father pastored a church.
Okay.
So everybody had to play an instrument and sing a song and do something. I had no choice in that. So that was pretty much what my life consisted of, was just music. And I so happened to really, 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 really enjoy it. And I've been doing it ever since. And so it's taken on a lot of different seasons and shapes and experiences from then till now. But it's been a lifelong journey, and I really enjoy it.
I love that, man. And I have we have four kids, four boys. Our oldest is 9, and he's just recently got baptized within the last year or two. Our 7-year-old just got baptized, and it's so encouraging for me to hear that from you, because, you know, as a dad, not having older kids, I'm like, is this real? Is it, you know, I wonder those things. That's so encouraging. What would you say, you know, just as a dad, if you were telling me this is something as a kid that I experienced that pushed me along, what advice would you give me as a dad for my kids?
You know, I would say, you know, my father was of the school, like, you do what I say, right? I know what's best for you. Like, when you're a certain age, and, you know, I've gone through all the different seasons, like, that's changed a lot. Mm-hmm. I think I see a whole lot more fruit out of that old school way of, like, because I don't have the character to even follow through on my passions. Mm-hmm. So having parents to hold character for me while I grow into learning whether or not I'm going to continue with, I think there's a transfer in that. But having parents that were strong, like, you know, back in those days, like, if you're playing baseball, you can't quit in the middle of the season, right? If you got a talent to sing, I want you to learn how to do that. If you can play and you're musical, I want to put you in a position not to force you to do this for the rest of your life, but to give you options for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. So that takes a lot of character. I think it's totally fine. I mean, short of a miserable child who's crying and just, you know, totally depressed. But for me, I never chose it. It was like, I like this. This is cool. And it's like, okay, well, then you should get in the choir. I was like, okay. You know, and it was like, it kept going to the next thing and the next thing. And I never really thought about it. It just was like, it was normal. Like, this is just what we did. Everyone does it. I do it. I enjoy it. It's cool. At some point, I learned to make decisions on my own, and my parents didn't interfere as much, but they'd already got me off to such a great start. So I think it's awesome to help your kids find their way before they understand what the way is.
That's so encouraging. Where did you realize that worship was, you know, maybe something you were called to carry as a lifelong thing versus something you just did as a part of the church?
You know, I think it was as a teenager, while I was getting a lot more serious about my relationship with God, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was involved in every kind of youth group, anything I could go to, any kind of, it was a prayer meeting. I didn't care what it was. I wanted to be involved with anything, church, God, youth, everything. And not just for the fun of it. Like, I really enjoyed all of it. I felt like I was really learning something and getting something out of it and growing. I mean, my grades were turning around. I was like, I was just having this transformation where I went from a D student to an A student. Just like, and it was, the lights were going off. And during that time, I would lead worship for my dad's church. And this one particular day, I got to lead worship. And it was a small church. So there was a lot of room for margin for error. Like, you can just ruin the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. It's only 30 of us there. So it's totally fine.
Yeah.
And I remember that day like it was yesterday. I was singing. And somewhere between two songs or after a song, I started singing something that I never sung before. And I just kept singing that God is holy. And I had never heard anyone do this.
Yeah.
I grew up in a traditional church, and we didn't just go off making up songs.
Spontaneous, yeah.
And I just started singing. I remember the melody. I started singing this melody, this minor, you are holy, you are holy, you are holy, holy. And my brother started playing, and I just started crying. I kept saying it.
Wow.
And the innocence of a teenager crying out, holy, 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 the church just like, it totally changed everything. It changed the service order. I never stopped singing. I cried and sang it. Everyone started to worship, and it just changed. We'd never done that before.
Wow.
That was when I knew there's something happening that's far beyond an activity at church or tradition. And I was totally smitten. I want more of this. And it wasn't about church. It was like, I just want to be in God's presence. And I know that God's got something for me as it relates to carrying this in the house of God. It just really came together. I didn't know what I was doing, why, or how to do it. I couldn't repeat that the next week. I couldn't even tell you. Like, I don't even know why I started doing that.
Yeah.
But the love of God and that song just collided in a moment, and that's where it all started.
Man, I got goosebumps as you were sharing that story. Man, that's incredible. What about, you know, as you kind of moved along in ministry, you kind of had a shift. You took a trip to Sri Lanka. You want to talk about that and kind of what came out of that?
So there are these two seismic shifts. One in 2013 when I went to Sri Lanka. And then there was another one in 2017. And these are two very pivotal times that shapes everything I'm doing right now. 2013, by that time, I was singing with Fred Hammond and Kirk Franklin and Marvin Sapp and you name it, right? Mm-hmm. And I was also a worship pastor in my church, awesome church in Dallas, multi-ethnic racial church. And we didn't do gospel there. We only did New Life, Hillsong, Planet Shaker.
Yeah.
So I have these two different realities. Like, one church, I am doing no gospel at all. And then, like, on the weekends, I'm out on the road with Fred Hammond. This is all gospel.
That's so good.
So I took a trip, and I got tricked into taking this trip to Sri Lanka. A friend's like, hey, we want to introduce you to some folks, and we'll send you to London and England, wherever you want to go, if you agree to go to Sri Lanka. And I said, oh, man, that's awesome. I called some friends up. It's like, hey, I got someone that's going to fund the travel. Go ahead and book whatever events you want. So I did those events. And when we finished that, we went to Sri Lanka. And it was the surprise of my life.
Wow.
It was not a concert. I was used to doing concerts and events and worship nights. This was not that. They didn't tell me it was a missions trip. So I thought it was, you said it was a conference. That is not a conference. This is a missions trip. So, you know, I'm staying with the pastors and everything is so unique from anything I've ever experienced. But in that week, the heat, the food, getting sick on stuff, not knowing what I'm doing and eating and all the different living scenarios in Sri Lanka, I experienced the Lord in a way that I never, ever have, serving in a community that was so far out of my context. I fell in love with serving like that. And I kept going back. And it's like a commitment in my life was like, all this music is awesome, but missions, serving people. And so my wife and I, we were like, we're going to build water wells. We're going to change the world. That's what began to drive the ministry. It was then that I realized that worship wasn't everything. It's like, what's interesting, Keith, is like, worship was this. Mm-hmm. And then when I found about missions, like when I'm thinking about worship, I'm talking about worship and God, I mean music, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah,
music was this. And music did this. And my heart for changing the world did this.
Wow.
And music was right there, right? But it was like, this is a great tool because they wouldn't even want me over here mm-hmm. if I didn't have a reputation in music. But now that I'm over here, I get to go to World Vision homes. I get to go to Shepherd's Heart. I get to go out into the jungle. We get to plant, you know, dig wells and change lives. And that was even better than singing. So that really is a huge part of what I'm doing today, which mm-hmm. with wells in Africa and Sri Lanka and missions initiatives and all that stuff, that's really what started all that.
Wow, that's incredible. Yeah, we had a similar experience going to South Africa on a trip to speak to some, it was kind of like a leadership thing at an elementary school, but it was in the gang areas. And they didn't speak English. They only spoke Afrikaans. And I'm like a worship leader, and I'd done stuff all over. And they're like, Taylor Swift, Taylor Swift. And so I'm like messing around with some Taylor Swift songs. They knew every word in English. Like you said, I realized, wow, my world just got a lot bigger beyond I'm going to lead worship on a Sunday, or I'm going to go do this youth event, or I'm going to travel,
that's right,
or whatever. Wow. Talk about, can you tell me a little bit about how that led to you starting Overflow Culture, the organization, how the speaking came about. Did you ever see yourself as a speaker?
Well, you know what? I did. My father was a pastor, and before I knew that anything significant would happen with music, the first thing I thought I would do was just like be my father's protege and one day pastor that church. So when I was a kid, I was preaching at night. Like,
okay, let's go.
Remember, Keith, I told you, it was a little church. And it was like, they would let kids, like, you know, if the pastor's son loves Jesus and he wants to get up and talk about his favorite verse, go ahead, you know, like, go for it. So I started out like that. And as a teenager, I was like the kid wonder, like, in the churches and our denomination and around the city, it's like, hey, that little kid's on fire for Jesus. You should get him to come to your youth night. You should get him to come, like, and I would come and I'd be like, oh, fire. I'd just be, you know, God's gonna, you know, I was on fire.
That's so great.
And so I thought that I would do that. It wasn't until I really got into the music industry that I rethought it. I was like, oh, you know, my father passed away. He sold the church. I lost what I thought legacy was gonna, what I was gonna walk into. My father's gone, church is gone. I have nothing. Moved to another city, no one knows me. So now I'm thinking, I don't even know if that's who I really am. Like, I don't know if that was just because I was my dad's son, he's a pastor in a small city, if that's gonna stick in Dallas. Cause Dallas is a huge city, no one even cares I exist. So at that point, music really took the front seat and all the opportunities came there. So I was like, fine, maybe I won't preach, you know? But in my heart, it's not even about preaching in front of people. It's just a love for people and a spiritual ability just from the Lord to communicate the truths of Scripture. And that's something that's always been with me. I love that. And so I think all that just kind of stirred together. But the organization, it started because of the missions. All this stuff just kind of came together through those years from 2013 to 2016. We started that nonprofit. And the first name was, I don't want to say it was bad, but Global Worship Impact is what we were. And I was like, I'm global, I'm worship, we're going to make an impact. That was just, that was my, that was what I thought. Isn't that,
yeah,
I don't,
that's funny.
It kind of sounds bad now.
No, you're just making it up. God wastes nothing, you know.
It was a lot of zeal, a lot of passion.
I love
and
that.
Waiting on the Lord to give me some clarification on that. But when it all came together, it's overflow culture. It's really defined. We know exactly who we are. We know what our target is. We know who we're serving. We know why we're there. Wherever I am, I know why I'm there. And that all grew. But I think the catalyst of really having clarity was not having a mission. It was learning that the engine for mission is intimacy with the Lord. And I think that piece, I'm a believer. I love the world. I love music. I want to change the world. But you don't have enough energy to change the world without intimacy with the Lord. You don't have enough clarity of even where to go, what to do. And if you have direction, you won't sustain it. You will never sustain it without his presence. You will never sustain that. And that is not a public experience. That is a very, very private one-on-one thing. It's like, if you don't have a greater passion for the presence of God alone, how in the world can you expect to change the world in public? There is a place that all that's curated, and it's between you and the Lord. And so 2017, that happened after listening to, I'm a believer. I love the world. I love music. I want to change the world. But you don't have enough energy to change the world without intimacy with the Lord. You don't have enough clarity of even where to go, what to do. And if you have direction, you won't sustain it. You will never sustain it without his presence. You will never sustain that. And that is not a public experience. That is a very, very private one-on-one thing. It's like, if you don't have a greater passion for the presence of God alone, how in the world can you expect to change the world in public? There is a place that all that's curated, and it's between you and the Lord. And so 2017, that happened after listening to a Francis Chan message, which is nothing but trouble. you kind of get where
was
I'm
it
going.
The lukewarm one or no?
Oh, no. It was the one where he told his testimony about how he used to sell vacuum cleaners and like rip people off, but how the Lord changed his life.
Yeah,
it was all around Isaiah chapter 6. And he had this moment where he opened up that Bible and he read it and he's like, Lord, I want to have my own experience. And he had his own experience with the Lord. And I'm watching this YouTube video laying in my bed. And I was like, well, I want that too. You know, I knew like there was a gap between what I was doing and something else. And that night, the Lord humbled me like I'm never, like I can't remember, like these moments are huge catalysts. I got on my knees. I felt guilty for laying in the bed and praying. It was the first time that I felt like, how can you ask the Lord to like change your heart in this moment? You want to experience him like Isaiah, you know, then you just lay back on your pillow. It's like
in your comfy bed.
How dare you?
Oh, wow.
He is holy. Proskuneo. You need to bow. You need to get low as you can. Humble yourself. In that moment was the birth of what I call my prayer closet. Because after that moment, I had to change my schedule. I changed everything. I was like, okay, I'm no longer praying in the shower and in the car. I have to wake up an hour and a half earlier because I've got to go to my prayer closet. And I don't even know how to pray that long, but I want to learn what to do and how to do that. And that was just something that changed my life in the prayer closet. And everything came under that. Overflow, the name, the clarity, like the more I prayed day after day after day, and you stack days on days on days. The beautiful thing about prayer, Keith, is this. The Bible says that we should pray without ceasing, so that we should pray all the time. But what's beautiful about prayer is at some point the Lord answers. And what's better than me giving, you know, requests and making supplication and all that to the Lord is his response, however long it takes, which is why it's important to pray every day. That's why it's the idea of praying without ceasing is not about, I just all day, Lord, how a father, you know, who is in heaven. It's not that. It is a constant connection and awareness of his presence and a continual awaiting and expectation for his response. That is the beauty. And here's what I love about this best. God can speak better than we can listen. He can talk whenever he wants. And if he has your attention, you never know what he might say and when he might say it. So for me, that intimacy piece, it gave me so much clarity because I surrendered not just my heart, but my time, my hours, my schedule. It's like, I can't say I got a big vision for the Lord, but God, you got to slide it into between Burger King and my next meeting because I am too busy to really, you know. That is what changed, and I think that's why we're just at a totally different place today.
I love hearing that story. Can you tell us about your book? So Life in the Wild, you released that last year. Would you say that kind of came out of that same?
It did. It did. Life in the Wild, the song Walk With You, like the album Overflow and this book, yeah. All of it came out of it. And it was like during this time, just reading the scripture, I would read scriptures and I would see things I never saw. I was reading Luke chapter 1, I got to verse 80, and it says that John moved to the wilderness, and he never left. It's like, I was like, wait a minute, why did he do that? It's like, that no one told him to do that, and it was at that moment it illuminated to me that John was called to do something exceptional, and he had a prophetic, like, word, like, from Gabriel, his parents, and the whole community was, like, in expectation as what God might do. We haven't heard from the Lord in hundreds of years. This is probably going to be amazing. But then there's something that happens in his heart that no one can explain. In the middle of all this wonderfulness in Jerusalem, he gets this wonderful idea to leave Jerusalem and go out to the wilderness and live there. It's like, wait a minute, that's anti, I don't know. That's, yeah. However,
countercultural.
It's countercultural, counterintuitive. But what I learned out of that is there is a type of commitment. And this really got applied to me as a creative person or a person of high impact or a person with a platform ability. Because John's calling meant it included a platform. He couldn't do it without being seen. He had to be in front of lots of people for this to work. Well, that meant his lifestyle had to be radically different. And I realized my life wasn't radically different enough. I was living like everyone else, but saying I have this radical calling. It's like, well, that don't make sense. How can you have this wonderful thing God wants you to do that is so different and so unique, but your life is not unique? Your life is like everyone else. You go to all the basketball games. You watch every movie. You do everything like everyone else does. You eat whatever you want to eat, but it's like you're not going to get there like this. Yeah. And that book, Life in the Wild, is just a picture of John the Baptist and a framework for creatives and, you know, influential leaders as to what commitment looks like for someone with an exceptional calling like that. So all that stuff came out of that prayer closet, like day on day on day on day on hours. It's just amazing what you can learn when you really when you commit time to the Lord.
Yeah, and I'm sure that also transfers right over. You have a conference coming up. You want to talk about what people can expect, what that is, what the vision behind it, the heart behind it?
Yeah, the heart behind Overflow Experience. Oh my goodness. It's like, how can I bring people into a room and share with them what the Lord's done in my life? Especially creatives, especially songwriters, worship leaders, musicians, producers, production, all these folks, these, you know, content creators. It's like, how can we make space to give people an opportunity for that type of revival transformation that has the potential of changing everything? And so that conference is there to facilitate that. You know, we've got what we call revival nights, which is just like, we're going to pray and we're going to seek the Lord. We're going to worship. We're going to hear the word. And it's like, is that old school? Like, no, like, what else do you want to do? Like, we're going to come together and we're going to seek the Lord together. Yeah. And then that's on the 5th. And then on that Friday, we're going to come in the morning and we're going to have all these impactful sessions around worship, songwriting, helping creatives and senior leaders foster healthy relationships and all sorts of things. We're going to get into some things that might be somewhat taboo, but everyone is trying to figure out how to do this. Like, how do we navigate the diverse racial, ethnic, cultural, all this stuff? And everyone's saying, we want to look like heaven. It's like, well, okay, how? How can we take technology to assist in that? How can we take our skill sets and our systems and do things that are really practical that can create results as opposed to just wishes? And it's like, I wish we were this. Like, well, you know, I don't think you're getting any closer this year than we were last year. And it's just a gamut of subjects. I think I know for sure, because I've lived this, walked this walk, that worship leaders and pastors and all the like in creative space need. And then what's awesome about this is we get to release our new album as well that weekend. So it all lines up, new live worship album, Sanctuary Live. And so, yeah, it's going to be an incredible weekend, March 5th and 6th.
That's so cool. If somebody is in the local church as a worship leader and they're trying to grow, you know, maybe beyond musical skill into a more of a pastoral level, what's something you would tell them?
Oh man, music is not even scratching the surface. If you're wanting to grow and really serve people, you need to be a leader more than you need to be a musician. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't serve effectively without the skill. But you can't serve with the skill if you're not a leader. So here's what I say. Most people get hired for their musical ability, and they get fired because of the lack of leadership acumen. So, right? So I think, I believe that if we invest in who God made us to be, beyond the talent that God gave you, then you're going to have a better chance of seeing the usefulness that the Lord will get out of your life. And I think that's probably, I can go on and on about that, but I think that's the key component I would like to share.
We're going to wrap up, but I appreciate your heart. You have such a pastoral heart. Clearly, you know the word and you're in prayer. And I think, man, such a great model for younger worship leaders. I mean, really all worship leaders, but particularly younger worship leaders that are trying to figure out, am I called to this? What does this look like as a kid? You know, how do I navigate this growth and how do I serve in the church faithfully? There's only 30 people here, you know, like there's benefits to all this stuff. And man, yeah. I just want to say thank you and I appreciate your heart.
Man, thank you for letting me share. Yeah. I know I kind of went on and on. You asked
great.
Me all of the like best questions.
Man, well, thank you so much. I'll make sure to follow along and share what you're doing. Can't wait to see.
Thank you, man.
Thanks. Well, I hope this conversation with Michael encouraged you and gave you something practical to carry into your leadership. You know, because helping work. And if you have a question or a topic you'd love for us to explore on the podcast, feel free, email us anytime, podcast@worshiponline.com. You can DM me on Instagram. If you're looking for help preparing musically for Sundays, Worship Online, we offer in-depth tutorials for guitar, drums, vocals, keys, acoustic, bass, and it makes learning songs so much faster and so much less stressful. You know, we hear all the time how Worship Online is helping leaders and musicians really grow in confidence and show up prepared, both spiritually and musically. So if you're not already a member, you can visit worshiponline.com. You'll get a 2-week trial for free. So thanks so much for listening today. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast, leave a review, and we'll see you next time on the Worship Online podcast.